I'd ask you to please turn with me this morning to the letter of Paul to the Philippians in chapter 2. That is page 1349, Philippians and chapter 2. We'll just read the first 11 verses. Philippians chapter 2. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy, being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem each other better than themselves. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I think there is great advice here from the Apostle Paul in verses 3 to 4, particularly in terms of our relationship with one another at Christmas. And particularly though we set our minds on verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And we have been concentrating on a short series here at Mount Zion, knowing God through the incarnation of his only beloved Son, Jesus Christ. And we have seen the character of God through the incarnation. We have seen God's mercy. We have seen God's grace. We have seen God's truth. We have seen yesterday morning God's goodwill. There are so many aspects of God's character and God's purposes which come forth through the incarnation of his only beloved Son. But this final message this morning, which will be quite brief, we shall be finished, if the Lord will, by 11. We'll be considering the condescension of God. We see here a tremendous example of the humility of God in the person of his only beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus willingly took upon himself, in union with his divine nature as God, a perfect human nature. So, as God, he also became man. And while here on earth, while humbling himself as a man, he never stopped being God. He was the God-man, Christ Jesus. Now, it was said once that the greatest event in history was when man walked upon the moon. But actually, the greatest event in history was when God walked upon this earth in the person of Jesus Christ. And while here upon earth, God made man, Christ Jesus. He made himself of no reputation. And it means here that he emptied himself. He emptied himself. And Hendrickson says that Christ Jesus, though existing in the form of God, did not count his existence in a manner equal to God something to cling to, but he emptied himself. While always remaining God, then, he laid aside in a temporary manner some aspects of his being as God while here on earth, those evidences. So, for example, his position in heaven. We know that when Jesus was coming towards the end of his life here upon earth, he prayed, I have glorified you on earth, speaking to his Father. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. And he laid aside his glory. He emptied himself of his glory just for a period of time here upon earth. Oh, he laid aside his riches in heaven for a time. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. But then there's another thing that the Lord Jesus Christ laid aside in humility, and that was his independence. His independence. How we like our independence. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, subjected himself to his earthly parents as creator. He laid aside all material ownership, and during his ministry here, he lived as a borrower. He created the world, and yet he lived here on earth as a borrower from creation. For example, it is said that the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head, no house that he could call his own. When he was in his ministry, at his birth, he was laid in a borrowed manger. He went to his death at Jerusalem on a borrowed colt. He instituted the Lord's Supper in a borrowed room. At his death, he was laid in a borrowed tomb. He laid aside his independence. Well, the important thing then for us this morning, first of all, is to look to the remarkable example of the Lord Jesus Christ and to follow him. Consider how he humbled himself and how he served his Father and obeyed his Father. He set this perfect example. He was a testimony, a witness. And it was said when the disciples themselves had this strong witness for the gospel, that people observed that they had been with Jesus. Being with Jesus had a great effect upon them. Well, an undercover journalist once followed closely Hudson Taylor, the well-known missionary to China, and he wanted to record the positive and the negatives of his lifestyle. Now, this journalist was a cynic. And he actually set out in his assignment to really criticize Hudson Taylor, to really find out those areas that were difficult in his lifestyle and highlight those and try and make the case that Christianity really is nothing more than a face and a front. But after 3 months, this journalist, who had started his assignment as a cynic, was converted to faith in Jesus Christ. Our example does speak to others. The most glorious example is that of Jesus Christ. And his example most certainly does. So our example, our testimony, our witness does speak volumes. There was an old man, you know, who was seen every Sunday morning walking to church. And he was deaf. It was before the time of hearing aids, and he couldn't hear a word of the sermon, and his neighbours used to laugh at him and say, "Why ever do you spend your Sunday mornings going to church when you can't hear a word? This silly old man, he can't hear a word." And so he replied to his neighbours, he replied, "I want my neighbours to know what side I am on. I want my neighbours to know what side I am on." And so this morning, by just coming to church, it's like saying to your neighbours, to the town, "This is the side I am on." How much more then should we consider the example of the Lord Jesus Christ? He had a servant mindset. He came from heaven to earth to serve. He was a servant. He came not to serve himself, but he came to serve others. I don't know whether you've seen this documentary that was made some while ago about Queen Victoria and her friend Mr. Brown. And she went with her friend Mr. Brown to visit some people in a cottage. And Mr. Brown tells her to lay the table. and she couldn't lay the table. She was all at sea. She couldn't do such a simple job as lay the table. And she was so used to being served, that she was all at sea trying to serve. She'd only been used to having things done for her. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the King of Glory, the one who reigns in heaven with the Father, came to this earth to serve. We read later on in his life, towards the end of his life, he rose from supper, he laid aside his garments, and he took a towel and he girded himself, and he said, "I am one among you who serves." Jesus came to serve. He had a servant mindset, but then he had a humble mindset. A humble mindset. You know, consider this morning, the Son of God made a man lying in a manger. There's not much mother care about a manger, is there? You know, we've just had a birth in our church with Bene Roxana, and you see all the efforts that go to make the babies coming as comfortable as possible, and they're laid in a nice cradle and cot, and all the best you can do for it, quite rightly. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was laying down on a straw bed, a bed of straw in a manger. In his upbringing, he had a humble mindset. He submitted, as I said earlier, to his earthly parents. His ministry, he identified himself with all aspects of society. You know, Lord Jesus Christ was unique in this sense, that he could be as comfortable with a very rich person as with a very poor person. And we don't often have that gift. We try and behave differently to a rich person than to a poor person, perhaps, or we are uncomfortable in certain aspects of society. But the Lord Jesus Christ was not like that. The Lord Jesus Christ could speak to those in high up in authority and very wealthy, and he could speak to the very poorest of people. We know that we read of him sitting by the woman at the well, ministering to her, and the disciples were shocked that he should be seen even speaking to this woman. But he could also speak firmly to someone like King Herod. Go and tell King Herod that. Go and tell. And so him, speak to him. So the Lord Jesus knew exactly how to identify with all aspects of society. There is a true story of a prince who was looking to get married. And one day he was riding through a village and he saw a beautiful young lady. And as time went on, he fell in love with this lady, but he didn't want to like force himself to marry this lady just because he was the prince. So he decided to lay aside his robes and his wealth and go into that village and live as a commoner and earn her respects. And so that's what he did. And after a while, she fell in love with this young man and they became engaged. And then he told her who he really was. But she had accepted him for who he was, not for the wealth that he had. And in a perfect way, Christ Jesus has humbled himself temporarily, laying aside his glory as the bridegroom of the church. He has come to this world to win his bride through his example, through his suffering, through his death, through giving everything for his church as its heavenly bridegroom. He humbled himself in his death. He was crucified between two thieves. He was placed on a cross of shame under the curse of sin. And so our Lord entered our world. He humbled himself, laying in a manger, and lived a perfect yet humble life. He identified himself with humanity in a real and deep manner, and he paid the ultimate sacrifice in giving his life to redeem his bride, the church. But then their Lord Jesus had an obedient mindset. And this meant suffering beyond their human comprehension. Motivated by an eternal love for his people, Christ came to this earth and he suffered and he died in our stead. And Paul's great burden here, friends, in this short passage of Scripture, is to fix our faith upon Jesus Christ, the Son of God, made man as a person, equal with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, yet emptying himself, humbling himself, being laid in a manger for us, making himself of no reputation for us, suffering on the cross as though he had broken the law billions of times for us, making himself of no reputation. We grasp our reputation. We hold on to our reputation. But he made himself of no reputation. That's a wonderful thing. Who would willingly, knowingly, purposely make ourselves of no reputation? That is what the Lord Jesus Christ did. Even though he was of eternal reputation, here in time, he made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a bond servant. He came in the likeness of men. Oh, he came in the likeness of men. Yes, he was most assuredly God made man. But he was unique in the sense that he was born of the Virgin Mary. That was something unique. And he was the only person who ever lived upon this earth that did not sin. He had a sinless human nature as man, while at the same time having a divine nature as God, being found in appearance as a man. He appeared as a man. He looked just like an ordinary man. And this is why it's so foolish in a way to look at pictures which have Jesus Christ with a big halo over his head, and they try and make him look like someone different. But he actually appeared as a man, as an ordinary man. And he was known as Jesus of Nazareth. And the world looked on in their visible sight, and Jesus just appeared to them just like another man. Most assuredly man. But then he humbled himself. This is the deepest and most profound humbling action ever taken here upon earth. This obedience, this humility, ultimately took Jesus Christ from the manger to Calvary. Calvary is God's greatest sign of love. His greatest sign of love is Christ humbling himself, born in a manger, pressing on towards Calvary, going to Calvary's cross to suffer the eternal punishment due from God for the sins of all those who put their trust in him. He humbled himself in a manger. He humbled himself to the extent of dying a cursed death, crucified as a cursed person on a cursed cross. The Romans used to say, let the very name of the cross be far removed, not only from the body of a Roman citizen, but even from his thoughts, his eyes, his ears. He died a shameful death outside the city gates as one rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having been made a curse for us. Well, finally this morning, I just want to remind you not only of the humility of the Lord Jesus Christ, but also of the adoration of Jesus Christ. Verse 9, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God crowns his only beloved Son, who has perfectly and gloriously accomplished the work given him to do. He has given him the name which is above every name. A glorious reputation now. A name which is above every name. The one who made himself of no reputation now has an eternally glorious reputation, not only that she had as God before time, but now he has an eternally glorious reputation as a man. And he is the only one that has that. Even though we are saved, we trust in Jesus Christ and we look to him, we trust in him, we believe in him, and I trust each one of you do here this morning, we do not have an eternal reputation. We are sinners saved by grace. All our reputation is in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is the only man who has a reputation which is above every name. He has a wonderful reputation, an eternal reputation. And yet he made himself of no reputation. But as he did this and followed his Father's will perfectly, God the Father, who foreordained that his Son should be made of no reputation, took his Son and then made him of eternal reputation. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. A name which is above every name. A glorious reputation. That this means highly exalted. The only time this expression is used in Scripture is given to the Lord Jesus. Highly exalted him. It's the only time this expression, highly exalted, is used. And it means Jesus Christ has been super exalted. We read of Superman in a cartoon form, as it were, but this is no figment of our imagination. This is no film. This is no make-believe. This is Jesus, the God-man, Christ Jesus, highly exalted, super exalted. God the Father elevates the Son in a glorious manner, raising him to the loftiest heights, high above the heavens, seated at the Father's right hand, and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Now, Paul reminds us in conclusion that at the end of the world, every knee shall bow. He says he gives us three groups of people who will bow the knee to Jesus Christ as the Lord of glory, and to the glory of God the Father for his praise. The first group is those in heaven. Those in heaven. They will bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. All the perfect angels and redeemed human beings who have already departed this life bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. Those on earth, all human beings at the end of the world, both saved and unsaved, will acknowledge him as Lord. The believers will acknowledge him with joy in their hearts as the Lord Jesus, their Savior and Lord. The unbelievers will also acknowledge he is Lord. But they know it will be to their judgment. And the third group are those under the earth. All those lost eternally, human beings, demons, angels, evil angels, sorry, Satan. Even Satan will have to bow before Jesus Christ as Lord to the glory of God the Father. That is at the end of the world. That's what the ultimate events will culminate to. Every single being, those in heaven, those on earth, those under the earth, will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Well, let us follow him as Lord. Inspired by his humility, inspired by his obedience, inspired by his exaltation, we know God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We can know God through the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you are not being called to serve an ordinary man, a fallen man, You're not being called to serve a man who will let you down. You're not being called to serve a man who will change in his attitude towards you. You are not called to serve a man who will change his doctrine, a man who will change his truth, a man who is swayed by the different trends in society, like our government. No, you're not being called to follow such a man. You're being called to follow Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen.